coming at it.
Welcome to the Laurel Mountain Highlands area of Narcotics Anonymous 5th Annual Unity Retreat. We would like you to join us in celebrating the recovery and fellowship that we have come to know, need, and deserve in our lives. We encourage you to share in our NA Unity through your experience, strength, and hope in our wide variety of workshops. This is an open retreat. All are welcome to attend. However, we ask that only addicts share in the workshop. In accordance with our seventh tradition, we are fully self-supporting. Thank you for registering. We should remember that our actions this weekend are a direct reflection of Narcotics Anonymous as a whole. Let's carry the NA message, not the mess. Our message is that an addict, any addict, can stop using, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. Our message is hope in the promise of freedom. When all is said and done, our primary purpose can only be to carry the message to the addict that still suffers, because that is all we have to give, that no addict anywhere need die from the horrors of addiction. The NA way, in Narcotics Anonymous, we are presented with a dilemma. When NA members identify themselves as addicts and alcoholics, cross addicts, or talk about living clean and sober, the clarity of the NA message is blurred. To speak in this manner suggests that there are two diseases, that one drug is separate from the rest. Narcotics Anonymous makes no distinction between drugs. Our identification as addicts is all-inclusive, allowing us to concentrate on our similarities, not our differences. To the press, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. If any members of the press are present, please come to the registration table, where you will be referred to our public information chairperson. We respectfully ask that no pictures be taken during the Unity Retreat by the press. If any NA members are approached by the press, please refer them to the registration table. Remember, no one person represents NA. Please do not attempt to represent NA to the press alone. Thank you. Please observe no smoking in all buildings. Hello, everyone. I'm an addict named Kim. Welcome to this workshop entitled, Why Are We Here? Will you please help me open the meeting with a moment of silence for the addict who still suffers, followed by the serenity prayer. Amen. God, grant me serenity to accept things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Could we please have the following reading? We do recover.
We're at the end of the road, we're trying to no longer function as a human being, either with or without drugs. We all face the same dilemma. What is it left to do? There seems to be this alternative. To go on as best we can to the bitter end, to be able to continue to live that, or find a new way to live. In years going by, very few addicts ever had this last choice. Those who are addicted today are more fortunate. For the first time in history, a simple way has proven itself in life for many addicts, to be available to us all. It is a simple spiritual, not religious program known as Narcotics Anonymous.
Thanks, Jonathan. At this time, I'd like to introduce you to the first speaker, which will be Shawana from the Swapasna area Sunday night New Friendship Group.
My name's Shawana and I'm an addict. And can you indulge me with the third step prayer, please? Take my will and my life, guide me in my recovery, and show me how to live. Ooh. Oh, man. Like Justin, he'll ask me to share, and like he told me what he wanted me to share on, and like, of course, just getting out of school, it's time to prep. It's time to go to the literature, it's time to go to the basic text, it's time to get a pamphlet, it's like time to do something and to try to do this right. And like, for about a week, I'm like going into the basic text, I'm like going into pamphlets, I'm like getting all this stuff, I'm like, nothing is hitting home. You know what I mean? Like, nothing's jumping out of me, and it's just not clicking, and like, I'm like, okay, God, like, I know that, like, you're going to do this. And I just want to read one thing, because just, like, really, I can really identify this. And it says, on page 14, we reached a point in our lives where we felt like a lost cause. We had little worth to family, friends are on the job, many of us were unemployed, unemployable. Any form of success was frightening and unfamiliar. We didn't know what to do. That was me. Didn't know what to do. As the feeling of self-loathing grew, we needed to use more and more to mask our feelings. We're sick and tired of pain and trouble, frightened, ran from the fear. No matter how far we ran, we always carried fear with us. Hopeless, useless, and lost. And failure had become a way of life, and self-esteem was non-existent. Perhaps the most painful feeling of all was the desperation. And like, I like need to tell you that, like, I struggled with this for a long, long, long time. I have, like, many, many reasons why I'm here. And like the first time coming in, the reason that I was here was because of the court, was because of the PO, was because of the rehab, was because of the family. And it like was because of all kind of other reasons other than the fact that like I really wanted to be here. Because like I remember coming in, being totally confused, trying all kind of other areas to like do this. To stop, and not being able to, like really, really not being able to, and like having multiple years clean, and like still not really knowing why I was here. I mean, I knew this word for a while, but like I was miserable clean, just miserable, just not feeling right. The gnawing in the stomach, the headaches, the discontent. The discomfort, the depression, like dressing up the outside and still being real uncomfortable with the inside, and like picking up again, and like picking up again, and like picking up again, and like picking up again. It seemed like the only thing that I could do right was like to pick up on a consistent basis. And Thursday night, after, like, I need to tell you that God's presence in my life lately has been enormous. Like, I've been feeling my higher power's presence. I mean, feeling it. Not just knowing it, but, like, really, really, really feeling it. And, like, I'm praying for guidance, and I'm praying for guidance. And, like, Thursday night, at about 11:45, I get a phone call. And, like, the person on the other end of the line, you could have, like, told that, like, her voice had no life in it. Like, the enthusiasm for recovery had died. She was hopeless. She felt useless. And, like, she was in pain. And like at the end of the conversation, I had been having a feeling about this individual for about a week. And like I kept on ignoring it, and I kept on trying to call her. And like we had used together, and like we had recovered together. And like Thursday night, I found out like why I was here. Because after I got off the phone with her, like I knew it was multiple years clean she was using. I heard, like, the death in her voice, the desperation, the self-loathing, the hopelessness, and, like, I talked to her for about 10, 15 minutes, and when I put the phone down, I was so grateful that I was here, like, so grateful, like, I wasn't happy she was where she was at. Like it broke my heart. I love her. I love what she had. I'm like, she doesn't have it anymore. because she's not here. So I get off the phone, like I knew in my heart, in my soul, in my head, like when I was here, because I don't ever, ever, ever want to go back there again. To the desperation, to the hopelessness, to the uselessness, to the fear, to the self-loathing. I don't want to be there anymore. And like I know, just for today, like one day at a time, how I'm not to go back there. By like coming to meetings, coming to retreats, having a sponsor, living some stuff. Like after I put down the phone, like the only thing that I could do and the only thing that I know that I can do, like I'm powerless. I like really, really, really hated this disease at like that point in time. Just like really hated it. This disease is so destructive. And I was real grateful that I'm like in the middle. I'm like in some service work with H&I. I like have a phenomenal sponsorship family. I have the best sponsor in Narcotics Anonymous. I have the best support group that I could possibly have. I have an outstanding home group. I do service work at my home group. And those are like some of the many reasons for like why I'm here and why I stay here, because I don't know about anybody else, but like I'm real good at getting clean, staying clean for a minute, getting a job, getting some self-confidence, getting my physical aspect back together again, and then like relaxing, then getting complacent, then forgetting like why I'm here. I forget about the desperation, the hopelessness, the uselessness, the isolation, the pain, and all the rest of that good stuff that goes with it. And like I was reminded firsthand Thursday night of all that stuff. And like it was real heartbreaking. And I was so grateful that like I wasn't using with her this time. And like the disease said after Richard Kopp and after who she's getting it from, after this and after that, and it's like, well, I tell you what, like, call me. Like we can pray. You want to go to a meeting? I'll come and I'll get you. I didn't want to know for real where she's copping at, even though the disease said ask. I like really love being here, but like my pattern says I can get something, but like I can't keep it. Like, I can stay for a minute, get a job, feel productive, make some money, and leave. And, like, I'm really, really, really trying hard not to do that this time. And I think one of the... And, like, God is so far ahead of me. I mean, just, like, so way ahead of me. That, like, I've just gotten this new job. I'm starting to make some money. I'm, like, starting to feel real confident again. I'm like, the disease says you don't need the meetings. I'm like, the disease says you don't need to call your sponsor. You can leave your four-step where it is, like, sitting on a desk. You, like, don't have to do it right now. And, like, that's a warning for me. So, like, all this week, I've been in a meeting every night. I've been doing some type of service for the fellowship every night. Because, like, I know if I want to stay here, not just get here, I can get anywhere. I'm getting caught. Walk. Thumb. Drive. Swim. I'd get there. But, like, I could never stay. I can get here. But, like, I can never stay. My pattern is not to stay. It's as soon as something gets touchy, as soon as I feel some pain, as soon as I got to go through some of this stuff clean, it's time to run. Like I could never stay anywhere long enough to get through to the other side. I've been like struggling with like some issues lately. I like think that as soon as I have God in my life, as soon as I'm living some stuff, it's like I'm showing up at meetings, I'm calling people, like I should not display any character defects. Like I like shouldn't be dishonest. I like shouldn't be jealous. I like should not have a lust issue. I like shouldn't be doing any of this stuff because like I'm centered right now. Like I'm in the middle right now. And like some issues have been popping up. Like I have this lust thing going on right now. And like it's not real comfortable. And like I don't want to share about it. Like I want to keep it in, I want to hide it. Because I've been sharing about spirituality lately. I'm like, how am I going to look? Sharing about how blessed I am, and all of a sudden, I'm sharing about lust. And I'm not talking about lust with the person that I'm with. I'm talking about lust with somebody else. Like, how's that going to make me look? But, like, I remember the last time that I hid the lust issue, what happened. I remember how much pain I went through. And how it almost took me out of here, and how it almost destroyed a really valuable friendship with another individual, and like how it almost destroyed me. So like I'm trying to do something different, and see, doing something different for me, it can be like real hard on any given day. And I found out that one of the ways to like keep me here and to keep on reminding me why I'm here is to like get this stuff out in the open no matter what you think about me. So like I've been sharing about this lust issue at group level. Just like because it's like there's like no warning. It jumps up. It, like, hits me in my face. I start feeling it, and I want to react. I have learned that one of the ways not to react is by getting it out in the light and, like, not having it be a secret. So, like, that's what I've been doing. I've been sharing about this thing. And, like, it's not making any sense to me. Like, why am I going here? Why am I feeling like it? Like, I'm God-centered. I'm not supposed to be feeling this stuff. I'm, like, not supposed to be going here. I'm supposed to be, you know, spiritual, and everything's supposed to be okay. I just, like, got this job that, like, I'm 44 years old, just got out of school, and, like, finally got a job that I'm proud of. Finally got a job that I deserve. I deserve this job. Because for years the disease told me, you're too stupid, you're too ugly, you're too fat, you're too white. Come from the wrong part of town, come from farmland. Like, you can't do this. Can't complete school at 44 years old. Can't keep up with those kids. You don't deserve working in a job with benefits and a 401k and a credit union and paid vacation and paid sick days. And like, I stopped listening to the little voice that talks to me in my own voice. She says he's just so cunning. I don't know about your voice, but my voice talks to me in my own voice, and I listen. And like, I finally stopped listening to that little voice that told me that I was too fat. Because like, I went from 120 pounds to like 170 pounds. So like, I like believed that one for a long time. I stopped listening to the voice that said you were too stupid because like, I have proof on paper now. I carried an A average through school. So like, that's a lie. The voice that says you're too stupid, it's a lie. I got proof. The voice that says you're still ugly, sometimes I still listen to that one. Because like, my hair's not blonde, my eyes aren't blue, I don't have a 24 waist and a 38 bust. And like, clothes don't fit me like they fit Joanne, or like they fit this one, or like they fit that one. I'm not real feminine. So it tells me like, I'm not a whole woman. I'm not good enough there either. I'm like, those are just some of the reasons why I never stayed. I chose to leave. Like, I would forget why I was here. I wouldn't remember stealing off of my man every penny that he had. And like, being approached and lying. Wouldn't remember that. I wouldn't remember buying shit for my daughter and taking a bath. Saying somebody stole it. We just remember like the numbness. Like being taken out of. Like the pain stopping now. So like, some of my many reasons are like, I don't want to steal from him no more. I'm like tired of taking, tired of being a parasite. I like don't have to do that when I'm here. I can like be productive. I don't have to take your money and help you look for it. That was one of my most favorite ones. Take your money and help you afford it. I was real good at that one. And like, I like the freedom that I have to where if he misplaced $5, he misplaced $5 and I did not take it. And I'm okay with the fact that I know that I didn't take it. When Value City says, Security Code Department 33, I look around and see if like I'm in Department 33. Like, I don't have to do that anymore. I know I'm not taking anything from Value City, but that was like I would hear nothing else. I hear on the loudspeaker, I hear security, scan 33, and I'm like, am I in Department 33? Immediate guilt, not even doing the action. The disease. Oh, man. And like that old cliche, play the whole tape. I say, oh, please don't tell me to play the whole tape. Just tell me anything else. Just don't tell me to play the whole tape. Today I play the whole tape. I go to buying shit for my daughter and taking them back and saying somebody stole it. I go to stealing his money, being confronted, lying about it, and like, oh God, do you remember what it feels like when somebody says you stole my money? You say no. They know you know you did it. You know you did it. You know how you feel? Like you said, like shame and guilt. Oh, like I don't want to go back here. Oh my goodness, like I don't want to go back here. I truly don't want to go back there. feel like I need to stay here. And I need to keep on reminding myself of, like, why I'm here. Why? Not just why I'm here, but why, like, I need to be here. Like, it's a real necessity for me to be here. Like, if I'm not here, I'm out there killing myself. I'm out there killing myself. I torture myself clean. I lay awake in bed at night in the dark and torture myself clean. Still. I still can't forgive and forget me. I have a real hard time forgiving myself. I forgive Karen for the most tedious thing before I forgive me for the smallest infraction. One thing that I know from 20-some odd years of an active addiction, I was first introduced to this fellowship in like 1978. I was 18 years old and not ready to stop. I know that, like, God has brought me here for a most specific reason. For some strange reason, no matter how many relapses I have had, I always come back. Because I know this is what works for me. Like, this is what works for me. Nothing else has ever, ever in my entire life ever worked for me. Used in jail, used in detox, used in rehab. Like, just used. And I couldn't stop. And, like, when I got that phone call on Thursday night and she was like, I want to stop but I can't. Like, I know how that feels. I know what it's like to, like, want to stop it, like, just can't do it. Like, I don't ever want to go back there again. I'm, like, so tired of coming in and out. Last part of this thing right here says, we were searching for an answer when we reached out and found Narcotics Anonymous. We came to our first NA meeting in defeat and didn't know what to expect. And, like, I know what to expect now. I don't have fear of you guys anymore. You guys don't intimidate me anymore. Well, maybe sometimes. Every now and then. Some people, sometimes. Like, I know why I have to be here and why I need to be here. And, like, the real important thing is I know what I need to do in order to stay here. Like, I have no excuses, no cop-outs. I have the tools. I know what I need to do. And, like, maybe the first 4 or 5 times coming in recovery, I never really, 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 really knew how hideous this disease is. I mean, I knew it. You told me. I saw people with multiple years clean go back out. I had multiple years clean go back out. Lie about it. But, like, I am really starting to know and hear how hideous and how powerful and, like, how cunning this disease is. Because it attacks me at my most weakest point through my daughter, through my man, through my sponsor. I mean, my disease had me about 6 months ago believing that my sponsor and my sponsee sister had a conspiracy out for me. Talking about me, like keeping me and pushing me away. That's how cunning this disease is. It wasn't 2 months ago when the disease said, your man don't want you anymore. You're too white. You want the black woman.
pack your shit and go. Didn't say use. Didn't say go with another man. It said pack everything that you can in the van with your daughter and leave because he doesn't want you anymore. Never gave me any indication of that. He never said that. Never showed any signs of that. He never even thought about it. He said, if things were going along so well with us, he says, well, I'm not fine. It's up. I'm like, have me believing about it. But like, I went to a meeting and I shared about it. I'm like, I felt stupid sharing about that. I felt like real stupid sharing about that. Like after the meeting, somebody came up to me and said, Oh, so that's what I'm going through. I didn't feel stupid anymore. Because somebody else had like validated my feelings. It was okay. And like after I shared about it and talked about it, guess what? I don't believe that I'm too late for my relationship anymore. I believe that I'm just right. I'm like the way that God had made me. I'm the way that I'm supposed to be. And guess what? He like loves me for that. He loves me. Without blonde hair, blue eyes, dark skin, curly hair, whatever, skinny, 24-inch waist, 38-inch bust. Like, I don't have to have that. Like, I don't have to have the complete feminine long nails, long eyelashes, makeup thing for him to love me. All I got to do is show up. And guess what? Be me. Dark hair, glasses, pigeon-toed, 170 pounds. He still loves me. Guess what? I kind of like myself. A little bit. More than I ever did. I can like look at myself in the mirror today. Man, these are like some of the reasons of why I'm here. I like need to tell you guys that like I love you. This was a real honor. My disease will say on any given day you have nothing to share except maybe where to go pop. Or except maybe how to get some chaos. Or except maybe how to be dishonest. So like this was a real, real honor. I like love this fellowship. And I love you guys. Thanks for letting me share.
Okay. I'd like to introduce the next speaker, which is Terrence, and he's from the 12-Step Spiritual Thing Group of Narcotics Anonymous from the Greater Erie area.
Morning, Simon. My name is Terrence. I'm grateful for coming at. Before I get started, I'd like to say that this is an honor and a privilege because this is the only second time I've been asked to share anything outside of Erie. I'm a little overwhelmed. I found out I was a mush by coming to this fellowship. Because I cried and dropped the hat.
All right.
Jawala, thanks for sharing because you really touched me. You told my story because everything you spoke on, I wanted to speak on. Because when I was asked to do this, Bob, I'm telling on him, he told me I was speaking on what can I do. So I got my basic text and I read on what can I do. I got up here last night, and the program director told me, you're speaking on why we're here. So last night I was in my tent with a flashlight trying to read this damn book. You know what I mean? So I can tell you why I'm here. But God told me, just talk about why you're really here. I'm here because I didn't know how to live. And I couldn't stop using drugs.
Right.
I'm a transplant from Philadelphia. I came to Erie 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. I've been clean ever since.
All right. We do.
But what I'm trying to tell you is When I left Philadelphia, I weighed 120 pounds. I was broke, physically, mentally, and spiritually. Didn't have a God. Didn't know what God was, what you were talking about when you mentioned a God. But I came to the Salvation Army, and the major's wife told me my only salvation was through God. Ask God to help you. Grab hold of him, and he'll lead you out. And God led me to Narcotics Anonymous, and Narcotics Anonymous led me back to God. But basically, when I said I couldn't live, I didn't know how to live. I didn't know what life was about until I came to here. I didn't know that, you know, you had to pay bills. I didn't know that you had to work. Cause I would work, but I worked for the dope man. I learned how to cook early on in my addiction. I learned how to cook because when I got out of school, I was already drinking and smoking reefer. But and I actually thought that enhanced my ability to work. Yeah. I did. You know, I would smoke a joint and go to work and be doing my thing and thought that I was doing real good. You know what I mean? I caught on. I was a quick learner, but it was all for naught because I wasn't being productive. I was wasting my time. You know what I mean? I could cook. That's my forte. I love it, and that's what I do. But bottom line, I worked for this caterer. I worked for him for 2 years. I found out that he was selling cocaine to cover up. You know, he was catering to cover up for cocaine dealing. And I found that out, and I used him, and I started getting paid in cocaine. And that's what I said. I didn't know how to live because I was doing everything else backwards. You know what I mean? Instead of getting the money and then buying the cocaine, I was getting the cocaine. And, you know, thinking I could blow up selling it. But before I bagged it all up, it was all gone. Yeah, I didn't know how to live. You know what I mean? It was crazy. You know what I mean? And that's one of the reasons why I'm here. You know what I mean? I'm here because I didn't know how to live. You know what I mean? And then once I got started, I couldn't stop. I didn't know how to stop. I was in and out of rehabs, in and out of detoxes for 30 years, y'all. 30 years because I knew I wasn't supposed to be living the way I was. And I just didn't know how to stop. I would go to the rehab. I stayed in rehab for 16 months, stayed clean, got out to go to college. 2 months into my college there, I went to Montgomery County Community College for the culinary arts, restaurant management. 2 months into my schooling, I was back using. It was crazy. I stayed clean for 16 months. You know, thought I had it, was running in and out of NA, using all the time, you know, smoking joint because I thought my problem was heroin and cocaine. You know what I mean? I actually thought, you know, well, I can do this and it won't affect this. You know what I mean? Long as I wasn't doing the big H and the girl. You know what I mean? Because that's what they call it. They call it girl and boy in Philly. I went to school, I got an associate, you know what I mean? I could still learn, you know, a little bit, you know what I mean? I could grasp, but basically I was still living wrong. I wasn't doing things right, and I couldn't stop. I used, I went in and out. I stopped counting at 13 rehabs, and I can't even remember the detoxes I've been in because they were only 7 days. I went to so many that they stopped picking me up. My medical card wouldn't work in none of them. You know what I mean? They said, well, you just left here last month. You know what I mean? We can't take you back. So that was, I shot up a car. I shot up a house. Because me and my wife and I had a son who loves me today. Through all of my mishaps and mistreating and, you know, bad decisions, he still loves me. We were sitting in the house in front of a TV and a couch. I had sold everything else. and the man was getting ready to come foreclose on the house. So, you know, that should tell you how I couldn't stop. Until I came to Erie, and I asked God to help me, and you people in the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. And my life has turned around completely. Honestly, completely. I scared myself at some of the things that happened to me. God has been so good to me. And my sponsor, I love that man to death. He teaches me daily how to live. I mean, I won't make no decisions without first consulting him. I mean, I'm trying to get this woman. I'm going to tell you this. I'm trying to get this woman, but she won't act right. You know what I mean? She just won't act right. You know? Because I've been clean for 4.5 years. I lived with a woman for 2 years. That died. You know what I mean? That was kaput. So I went 1.5 years without nobody. I was celibate. I didn't even try to get a woman, but this woman just turned me on. And I haven't gotten it yet. And I've been at it for 6 months.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Before, I used to meet a woman, have her, then worry about how I'm going to maintain her. But this one, I'm maintaining first, and I haven't, I couldn't tell you if she was male or female today if you asked me. I couldn't tell you. You know what I mean? I just know she looks like a woman, and she looks real good, she smells good, you know what I mean? And I want her. You know what I mean?
All right.
But I haven't gotten it yet. But I mean, that's the extent of my sponsor's help. I mean, I asked him, what can I do? Yeah. And he gives me pointers. He tells me, we plotted on it last year. We devised this diabolical plan to get this woman into my bed. Right? But that's just the extent. I'm just putting a little humor in there now because I cried at the drop of a hat. You know what I mean? Javonna was talking about how she, you know, struggled with not taking money. I was a thief. I still go into Walmart and Value Cities and stuff, and I'll be wanting to take it because I can get out the door. I know it. I mean, the things are so relaxed up here. I mean, in Philly, everything's got a... When a metal detector is hooked to it. You know what I mean? You get near the door, you start buzzing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I mean, up here, everything is so relaxed. I know I can get away, but my conscience won't let me steal. Because those things I used to do just don't sit right with me anymore. They just uncomfortable. I mean, because I know I'm in the care of. You know what I mean? God takes care of me. I mean, everything I want, I have. You know what I mean? No, it's everything I need. You know what I mean? Because I want a lot of shit. I do. I want a lot of shit.
All right.
But I haven't gotten there yet. You know what I mean? He's piecemealing me, you know, giving me a little bit at a time. You know what I mean? To keep me humble because if I get too much, I'll go crazy and I'll think I got this shit. You know what I mean? But I'm working an honest program, you know what I mean, to the best of my ability. Because, like I'm saying, when they asked me to do this, I cried. I cried. When Bob called me up and said, "You're speaking on what can we do?" You know, I said, "Thank you, God." You know what I mean? I'm finally worth somebody.
Come on.
I'm finally worth somebody listening to me. Somebody trying to understand where I'm coming from. Somebody can understand why I did what I did and why I need this program so bad, because Narcotics Anonymous saved my life. It actually saved my life because I told you before, I didn't know how to live and I didn't know how to stop. Why are we here? It says, excuse me, before coming to the Fellowship, I mean, we could not manage our own lives. I already spoke on that. You know what I mean? We could not live and enjoy life without, as other people do. I mean, I used to see people, you know, living, you know, I used to see people drink sociably and wonder why I couldn't do it. You know what I mean? I see people, you know, have cocktails. You know what I mean? Before dinner and stuff like that. You know what I mean? But I always had to drink it all. I mean, I used to like Southern Comfort and ginger ale. I'd buy a fifth Friday night, expecting this to last all weekend. But before Friday was over, it'd be gone. And I'd be back in the States on Sunday Saturday morning. You know what I mean? That's how my disease did me. That's how it treated me. And I'm allergic to everything else. Everything else. Any mind or mood altering drugs, I can't. Because I tried them all. I've tried them all. From Black Beauty to cocaine and heroin mix. Liquor to wine. Reefer to hash cheese. I mean, I tried it all in different ways. I used to only want to get high. After I was in the two rehabs, I think, I tried just getting high on the weekend. You know what I mean? But that didn't work. You know what I mean? I tried that for about a month. You know what I mean? I would go get me a little bag of Reefer and a case of beer and stay in the house, stay away from those people, you know, those people that had the powder and the stamp bags with dope and shit in them. I try to stay away from them, you know what I mean? And that didn't work. Before I knew it, I was buying a case of beer on Monday, you know what I mean, a bag of reefer Monday night. And I couldn't work steady because I thought I was missing something in the street. My disease took me there. I don't know where there is at, but I hear people saying it took me there. So I'm going with that. My disease took me there, you know what I mean? Because it embarrassed me. It embarrassed my mother. Embarrassed my sister. I was destroying their lives. And I thought I was just harming myself. You know what I mean? Because I always used to say, I ain't hurt nobody. I ain't did nothing. You know what I mean? But I forgot about those nights where I used to creep in my mom's bed on my belly like a soldier, find her pocketbook, empty it out, put it back, and lie to her. Like, you want? I ain't got no money. I ain't taking money. But I forgot about that. I forgot about going to my sister's house on Thanksgiving dinner and rifling through all the women's pocketbooks. You know what I mean? And waiting till the dinner was up. Couldn't wait till the dinner was over so I could get out of there. You know what I mean? So I could go get high the way I wanted to, because they were drinking beer, sociably having cocktails. Wasn't nobody drinking or cussing, and I'd get drunk and cuss the family up. Y'all motherfuckers don't like me. You know what I mean? For no reason. Just so I could get out. I found out later that was so I could get out the house with their money. You know what I mean? Y'all don't like me. Fuck y'all. I'm leaving. You know what I mean? But I got all that money in my pocket. You know what I mean? I was crazy. I was insane. So I came to Erie. You know what I mean? And that woman, God bless her soul, she showed me how to, you know, she directed me. You know what I mean? But you people show me how to live on a day-to-day basis. I don't have to steal no more. I don't have to lie no more. That's a blessing. That is a blessing in itself, because I used to lie just to lie. You know what I mean? To make myself feel good, to make you feel bad. You know what I mean? I would lie. You know what I mean? And that just don't feel good no more. Why I'm here is because I need you people. I need what you have to offer me. I need to live the way I've been instructed to live. This new way of life has brought me so much happiness and joy that I can't even speak on it. You know what I mean? I've developed new friendships, people that love me just for me. I mean, I make people laugh a lot. You know what I mean? I try to smile as much as I can. But that's only because I got this new way of life. And like Susan was saying last night, she thought it was some secret to this thing. But it's no secret. It's just honest, unconditional love. And that's all God wants us to do, is love one another treat your fellow man like you want to be treated. And it's so damn simple. It's just doing what you don't treat people. Treat people the way you want to be treated. That's what I'm getting from this. You know what I mean? You love me, I love you. We're all happy together. You know what I mean? Just like this spiritual retreat up here. Last night I slept in a tent. I'm a city person. I like concrete. You know what I mean? I like concrete.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But all this grass, you know, and my grandfather keeps teasing me about bears and shit. You know, he said, a bear's gonna come out the woods. I'm saying, a bear come out the woods, I'm on this place. You know, I'm still into the suing stuff. You know, I mean, because, you know, you sue somebody, they'll get the message. You know, but he keeps teasing, he's just snakes around here. You know, I'm saying, why are you living these animals, man? Why are you bringing this up? You know what I mean? I'm not even thinking about bears and foxes and skunks and raccoons. He's not a... I'm saying, come on, man, don't. You know, I'm a city guy, but I slept in a tent. I got this cop that keeps me off of the ground. You know what I mean? Because I can sleep in a tent, but I can't get with the hard... You know what I mean? I can't get with that. You know what I mean? But life is good. You know what I mean? And I'm loving this thing. You know what I mean? And I'm loving everybody that treats me the way I want to be treated, and I treat people the way I want to be treated. You know what I mean? And that's why I'm here, y'all. Thanks for letting me share.